This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for today. It is Trader Nick in the United States. How are you doing, Nick?
Hey, Johnny. I'm good. Good to be back with you.
Now, it's the first Friday of the month, and that, of course, means it is non-farm payroll day in the United States, where you are, and it's made fascinating reading. The U.S. jobs market has weakened further in August, with employers adding just 22,000 jobs last month, and that is much fewer than expected, is it not?
It is, Johnny. And to put that into context, you're talking about a country that has over 300 million people in it. So just 22,000 jobs added for the prior month is a very, very weak number, missing expectations. And if we take a look at some of the recent months, right, we've had several poor jobs numbers on the non-farm employment change number. We've had, for example, the prior month we missed expectations and revised the prior month before that's numbers down significantly. So you've had this consistently downtrending labor market data. And of course, the market is all up in arms about this on whether or not the Fed is truly behind the curve now, with data really coming in soft throughout this entire week. We had pretty much a slew of weaker than anticipated jobs report data. Just to add some more context beyond just the NFP number, so we did get that 22,000 jobs number added, but we also did get a rise in the unemployment rate. We went from 4.2 up to 4.3%, which was in line with expectations, but a rise nonetheless. Average hourly earnings were mostly in line with expectations. But really, when we pull back the curtain and we look at like this week as a whole, we got quite a bit of concerning economic data on the labor side, right? The ADP non-farm employment change was also forecasted to come in around 73,000. That's the private payroll sector. It came in at 54,000. And you have unemployment claims, which also rose higher than expected, up to 237,000 weekly jobs numbers. So you put all this together and you say, okay, we truly do have some cooling labor data on the labor market. There's one other variable from Wednesday's reported JOLTS job openings numbers, which came in lower than expected at just 7.18 million. Compared to a forecast of 7.38 million. That's a multi-year low. So it is fair to say that we have a labor market that is truly cooling here in the US. We do see the dollar significantly lower here today, off 0.73%. Most foreign currencies moving up against the dollar at this time.
Now, of course, the dollar sliding downwards is no doubt due to the fact that after today's figures, it's nailed on, surely, that the Fed is going to cut rates. A lot of people were saying yes to 25 basis points, but maybe an even higher 50 basis points cut, because looking at those numbers, they're much worse than people expected.
That's right. And prior to today, a 50 basis point cut or half a percent rate cut in the month of September was completely off the table. That wasn't really something investors, traders were looking at. To your point, the bond market now pricing in about a 12% chance that in the upcoming September meeting, there is the possibility of a 50 basis point rate cut. So, you know, pretty much completely priced in that we're going to see some sort of cut from the Fed in September. We saw that from Jackson Hole speech that of course Powell made, but also now with this data, as we near that date, we are seeing plenty of evidence that the market could use some relief, and perhaps we may get more than we bargained for. Now, 12% chance, not a huge probability, but still a possibility that we do get a larger than expected rate cut to help try and get back ahead of this cooling labor market.
And some analysts already saying, after these figures today, that the troubles in the job market are partially due to President Trump's sweeping changes to tariff and immigration policy, which many have already warned would hurt the economy by raising costs and uncertainty for firms. So perhaps it's not such a surprise.
I think it weighs heavily in on the former part that you made there with the uncertainty aspect. Does it necessarily mean that it is truly the economy that is devastated from these tariffs and that's why people are not hiring? Or is it simply firms, companies, corporations are saying, well, let's wait, let's put a pause on hiring until we get more of a clear idea of how the economy truly settles out following the introduction of these tariffs? And also now, I mean, just more uncertainty being introduced with whether or not the tariffs are ruled legal or not, right? That's back into question. So you have all these different forces. And so if you're a big, you know, hiring entity in the United States, you may be saying, well, we're going to put things on pause and perhaps pause on hiring. We also see this in Canada's labor data this morning. Johnny, I forgot to mention this as well. Can't forget our Canadian neighbors here. Of course, we had Canadian employment change, which missed expectations. There was a forecast of 4.9 thousand jobs added. Of course, it actually came in at -65.5K. Unemployment rate for Canada went up to 7.1%. So we are seeing this across North America, not just in the US, but in Canada as well. So really, truly seeing a little bit of a cool off in economic data. And the question I think with this, Johnny, is does this introduce the R word, the recession, right? Because that is sort of the next question. If we are now seeing, okay, clearly we have signs of slowdown in the labor market, does that equate to the next step is recession, or does that mean we just enter this slow period before accelerating again? And I think the only way to know that is to continue to monitor how this data goes from here. Do we accelerate to the downside? I mean, we've come down significantly in the monthly jobs number. Does it start to go negative? That would signal recession concerns. Right now, we are pretty close to unchanging labor data. We know that job openings have been declining as well as hiring has slowed. Unemployment rate has not ticked up, though. So that's the thing to watch. The domino to watch, I think, the next domino to fall, if you are trying to make a call as to whether or not a recession is coming, would be to watch the unemployment rate. It did tick up today to 4.3% in the US, but those are still relatively low numbers. So I think it's a little too soon to say, oh, you know, US economy is in a recession, but we are seeing the combination, the recipes here for not just a slowing economy, but perhaps a contracting economy. So it's a very interesting time.
And that unemployment rate in today's report, that is the highest since October 2021. And we've got a situation where we're going back to that old phrase that we used to talk about, bad news being good news, at least for those who are hoping, like President Trump, for rate cuts.
That's right. Great point to bring that up, Johnny. I actually was going to think about this with you with the index level, the S&P 500. Interestingly, upon the announcement of the numbers, the number dropped, the market initially moved higher, right? So that bad news is good news thought process. Oh, we got a really poor jobs number. That really locks in rate cuts. And certainly across the stock market, we do see certain pockets celebrating the idea, okay, rate cuts are higher probability. But the post-announcement, an hour later, the market was lower and is still lower here today. Now, it's not down dramatically, but my opinion on this matter is be careful what we wish for here, right? If we're talking about, oh, you want to see rate cuts, well, do you want to see rate cuts because the Fed can afford to cut rates and inflation is under control? Or do you want to see rate cuts, but it's because the labor market is truly falling out from beneath us? If that is the story, if that's what we're starting to see, that is certainly a be careful what you wish for type of moment. Rate cuts are great if everybody's employed. Rate cuts are just, you know, a Band-Aid on an open wound if you're talking about a full-blown, you know, recession concern formulating.
So the 12% probability of a 50 basis point cut, how seriously do we take that? It does seem very low. I suppose it could change over the next few days with more data coming in, could it not?
Well, to answer that question, Johnny, I think we've got to look at the gold market, which we just hit for the first time ever, just shy of $3,600 an ounce. It seems like gold, and again, not financial advice, and it could turn around today, but it looks like it's making a straight shot to $4,000 an ounce right now. Of course, something could change, and it doesn't have to go there by any means. but it's just in an up to the right direction move right now. And to me, what that signals is that the market is sensing something is concerning under the surface. We see all sorts of national debt concerns globally. We see inflation concerns back on the rise. You have all these problems in combination with slowing economic data. To me, the probability of a 50 basis point cut may be slightly higher than what the market currently is pricing. Again, it was not there yesterday, although gold prices were skyrocketing the last few weeks. And now we see the 50 basis point magically start to become a slight possibility. It really depends, obviously, with what data points come out between now and the September meeting. But we're not talking about very far away. We're talking about less than 2 weeks until the Fed rate decision. I think maybe more possibly than trying to say like, oh, we're going to get a 50 basis point cut would probably just be, I think is a very good chance that you're going to see possibly 3 rate cuts by the end of the year. We may cut all next 3 meetings by a quarter point each time. So I don't think that there's a very high probability that the Fed will take drastic measure, because I do think 50 basis points would signal to the market that, you know, maybe they feel they are truly behind, rather than spacing it out and just saying, we'll do 25 basis points. The Fed is in the business of not spooking everyone, right? Because if you spook the investors, traders alike, that can actually extrapolate the problem. So I do think that when we're looking at this, the probabilities of a 50 basis point cut, rightfully so, should be not very high, but certainly not impossible either. And I would give it maybe a slightly higher than expected, higher than the market's currently giving it in terms of the possibility. If you get, for example, inflation come down a little bit, the Fed may have even more room to try and get ahead of the labor market.
Okay, so that's the big headline for today, Nick. What about the week to come? What should we look out for?
Yeah, so this week was action-packed on the labor market side of things. If we take a look ahead to next week, the big stuff is going to be on Wednesday. We have the core producer price index number for the U.S. On a Thursday, we get we hear from the ECB, so we'll get the monetary policy statement and refinancing rate from them. We also have, of course, the big one on Thursday for the U.S. data, CPI report. So that will be huge in terms of following up to today's NFP report. On Friday, we get GDP numbers from the UK. And finally, we get the preliminary University of Michigan consumer sentiment and inflation expectations to end out. So another action-packed week.
Excellent stuff, Nick. Have a great weekend. We'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.